Good morning. On the major highways, we see no accidents or broken down cars this morning. I-95 South at I-10, the off-ramp is closed because of a construction project. Partly cloudy today, only about a 1 in 5 chance of rain, a high of 94. Partly cloudy this evening with scattered thunderstorms early. The low 76 right now, 77 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida candidate for governor Andrew Gillum wants a 40% increase in Florida's corporate income tax. He says he wants to use it to raise $1 billion more for education. The Wall Street Journal reports the tight job market for this year's upcoming holiday season could mean better pay and benefits even for seasonal workers. And the date is set to hear Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's accuser in front of a U.S. Senate committee.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Let's get to it. Good morning. 3 minutes after the top of the hour, the fastest 3 hours anywhere in Morning Talk Radio. Ed Dean right here on Talk Radio WBOB. So, as I said, let's get to it. The circus continues. We thought we were done with the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. Evidently, we're going to hear more. I believe it's coming up on Monday.
Yeah.
We're going to hear from the accuser, Christine Ford, who claimed 36 years ago, and her story's kind of changing a little bit, but that doesn't mean anything to the left. Just an accusation is enough. They believe that should disqualify Supreme Court pick nominee Brett Kavanaugh. We'll get into that in a moment. Now, according to some of those from the story, then both of these individuals will not be side by side, Roger. One will have here, the other one will have there. Still questions revolved. Why did Senator Dianne Feinstein sit on this, and who knew about it for the last couple of months? But yet, some may question about the validity of Christine Ford's story as it keeps changes. Here with that is Laura Ingram.
With the 11th hour charges against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, Christine Blasey Ford, a Palo Alto research psychologist, is claiming that when she was 15 and Kavanaugh was 17, he made unwanted advances toward her at a boozy house party. But there are holes in Ms. Ford's version of events. 2012 notes from her psychotherapist mentioned 4 men involved in the assault on Ford. Now, the accuser says it was only 2 men. Nowhere does Kavanaugh's name appear in those notes.
As I said before, whether you agree with him or not, probably the most credible individual, at least dealing with this, is South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. He was being interviewed on Hannity. Lindsey Graham says, listen, I've been a former prosecutor, judge, before I became a sitting senator. He says there is no court case, civil or prosecutorial, that would hear this case.
All I can say is that I've been a prosecutor, a judge, and a defense counsel all of my life before I got into politics. This case could not go before a criminal court because it's too old. No lawyer would bring it as a civil suit because it's just too hard to prove. The question for the Senate, is there really enough evidence here, given the nature of the allegation, how old it is, and the uncertain nature of it, to deny this man who's lived an incredible life a promotion to the Supreme Court? And if it was this bad, why did not the Democrats challenge Judge Kavanaugh when he was sitting right there?
There you go. Why didn't they challenge him? The expectations, I said before, they both will not be side by side. Republicans could put Kavanaugh's classmates under oath and have them deny that anything inappropriate or criminal occurred that night. It doesn't matter, fact, to the liberals out there that 65 women have already come forward and say that they brag about Kavanaugh's sterling character, but in fact, Democrats, it's merely just a confirmation that the judge is, quote, covering up something. Where does this continue to go when it comes about this? Listen to the liberal left, CNN, Simone Sanders, Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. It doesn't matter whether this young female has any credibility. The accusation is enough.
In a lot of these Me Too cases, Harvey Weinstein, who have fallen because of their disgusting past behavior, In almost all of them, it's a pattern. You see more than one.
Absolutely.
What if nobody else comes forward? Does that change things for you at all?
No, I still think Dr. Ford, she has credibly come forward, in my opinion. I hope if there are any other women out there, they do come forward. These women are probably some of the most powerful people on the planet right now.
You know what, real quick, he says there normally is a pattern.
Right.
Roy Moore's one of those.
Exactly.
Al Franken, Harvey Weinstein. He says right now we don't see a pattern, But even if other women don't come forward, the one woman's enough.
Is it okay if I think out loud just for a second, as you mentioned?
Oh, gee, why you stop? Why you start today?
Exactly. As you mentioned, you typically, you know, I err on the side of, okay, this lady's telling the truth. If you ran out of fingers to count the accusers on, we got one
plural
accuser,
accusers.
And then you've got 65 other classmates, females, who says, no, he was the most gentleman of the student in the entire class. There was booze there. It was a party. Lights dim. Let me just think out loud for a minute. How does she remember that he was the actual student and it could have been somebody else?
She's 15. He was 17. Who wasn't boozing up right there on that? Here's Chuck Schumer.
I think the allegations of Professor Ford are extremely credible.
Yeah.
She took a lie detector test. She talked to this to her therapist. They were having family counseling in part because of what happened to her.
Even though the therapist claims that she, actually there wasn't that amount of number. There was a different number. I don't know. Maybe they're having booze when she was hanging out with a therapist. I don't know.
5 years ago and told all the details. Mm-hmm. And third, to come out and say something like this puts you and your family through incredible scrutiny.
Yes.
People throw brickbats at you and everything else. She didn't do it on a whim. I don't think she did it for political reasons. Mm-hmm. So she has
she
a great deal of credit.
Can I ask a question? Somebody shot me an email. Do you think Ted Kennedy would be able, if he was alive today, confirm to the U.S. Supreme Court?
No, I don't believe he would.
But Democrats would probably stick up for him. So, I mean, they always kept reelecting him. Just somebody just brought that issue up.
Uh-huh.
But Kimberly Strassel from the Wall Street Journal explains why this is a disservice to the Me Too movement. And it goes even being echoed, which I want to use here in a moment, hence that word echoed. Tammy Bruce, who is lesbian, but she's a very conservative commentator on Fox. She is the president of the Independent Women's Voice. She says, wait a second, aren't we told that women need to come forward to be taken seriously when it comes to this? She says, it does matter when it goes into a court of law. This lady comes forward, no collaboration, and whether or not they're able to prove it, it's a political hit job. Then she says, this whole type of thing, Roger, just sets women back.
But when we say we want to be taken seriously and that it's because we want justice, and then allegations come forward specifically to harm someone, to be used in a manner to ruin them personally, to ruin their career, their personal reputation. And it's outside of the justice system, that it's not about the accuser being taken seriously and the accused having rights as well. Everyone who was saying that women can't be trusted, that women are going to use accusations against us, that comes back into play. And this is what none of us deserve this. So
she brings up a valid point. She says, you know, if this needs to be taken care of, you do it through the court of law and you bust them.
Mm-hmm.
By all means. When you do it as a political hatchet job, then what's the validity there?
Yeah.
When it comes to this? And she says, we want women to come forward. There are truths out there. But when it comes as a political hatchet job, you know, like Anita Hill, which we'll get into in a moment, that can't really collaborate it, then it just makes the whole point mute when a woman could be telling the truth.
Exactly. And this seems so politically motivated considering the timing. I mean, you talk about going on 3+ decades have gone by and she's just now coming out with the information, probably motivated by the members of the Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee.
That's where the real story, I think you're going to see investigative stories. Why did she come forward? President Trump was asked about it. He says, hey, I think it's a hit job, but if there's a minor delay, okay.
Perfect. Everything is just right. I wish the Democrats could have done this a lot sooner because they had this information for many months and they shouldn't have waited till literally the last days. They should have done it a lot sooner. But with all of that being said, we want to go through the process. One thing I will say, if it takes a little delay, it'll take a little delay.
And why not? But here's the question. How will all of this take place next week? We'll get to that in a moment. About whether or not the credibility of Christine Ford, the accuser Brett Kavanaugh, her attorney Deborah Katz was on CNN being kind of semi-grilled by CNN's reporter Allison Camerato.
While we have you, perhaps you can help us fill in the blanks on some of her story. She says that she was at a party in probably 1982 in Montgomery County, Maryland. She says that there were four guys there. These are high school students, as was she. There were four guys there. Were there any girls there that day?
Yes, there was another girl at this party, yes.
And has your client spoken to any of those other guys or that girl who could help corroborate her story?
She's not.
And why not? Is it time to do that?
That's That's not her job to do that.
Ah.
If this is going to be investigated, it should be done by investigators.
Oh, so it's not her job to collaborate, but she's the one, you know, I mean, if I had something around here that I need to collaborate, I'd be like, hey, I'm bringing witnesses, you know? But Deborah Katz, the attorney for Christine Ford, says, I don't know if my client's going to want to go in front of a circus like what they did to Anita Hill.
She's willing to cooperate. What she is not willing to do is to be part of this bloodletting that happens in Washington. We only need to look at the Anita Hill hearings to know what that's going to
be. Wait, yeah, hold on. Yeah, what was, finish that clip right there, clip number 8.
Going to look like, and that's not a fair way to get at the truth.
Oh, wait. So we want to shoot from a sniper version from the mountains, but heaven forbid we should come down in the valley and duel this out. If a lady has made an accusation and you want to go through it, and you believe that because of this accusation from 36 years ago should automatically derail a Supreme Court nominee pick, knock yourself out.
I'm confused. She's going to testify Monday, but she doesn't want to testify?
Yeah, it's funny. She doesn't want to go through the rigmarole.
What's the difference?
Yeah. As Victor David Hansen says, we no longer have a free country or enjoy civil liberties. If any American at any time can be ruined by an allegation of an unproven sexual assault 36 years ago when the accused was a 17-year-old teenager, oh boy. More coming up next as we continue to move along. Declassification. It's finally happened. Are we going to know anything about this or not? Job seasonal hiring is going to be at a record number, and that may benefit you for some of you looking for part-time work. We'll talk about this coming up next on Talk Radio WBOB.
295, I-10, and Butler Boulevard are all problem-free. 95 South at I-10's off-ramp that's closed because of construction. Traffic this morning is being brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air.
This is Bill Martin with God First Ministries. Jesus opened a new way, a way to the Father. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Ephesians 2, verse 18 says that through Jesus we have access to the Father. Jesus opened the way to the Father, starting here and now in this life. You have a good Father, our awesome God. He has good plans for you and wants good for you in every part of your life. Right now, you have direct access to the Father through Jesus. Spend some quality time with your Father God.
This message has been brought to you by God First Ministries of Jacksonville. For more information, visit their website at godfirstmin.com.
You know, it's a brilliant idea. Sharing. It just makes sense. You share cars to get from one place to another. You could share houses when you go on vacation. We teach kids to do it. It's a wonderful thing. So what if you had someone willing to share your health care bills? That's the beauty of MediShare. In a time when insurance costs are through the roof, MediShare is affordable, down-to-earth health care. For about half the cost of insurance, you get hundreds of thousands of people who share your medical expenses. No tax penalties or enrollment periods, no drama about drop plans, just the same healthcare sharing program that folks have been trusting in for more than 25 years. MediShare is people helping people the way healthcare was meant to be. Call 877-64-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Partly cloudy today, only a slight chance of rain. We'll have a high of 94 degrees. Tonight, a 60% chance of scattered thunderstorms. Overnight, the low 76. Right now, it's 77 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The Wall Street Journal reports the tight job market for this year's upcoming holiday season could mean better pay and benefits, even for seasonal workers. The date is set to hear Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's accuser in front of a U.S. Senate committee. And Florida candidate for Governor Andrew Gillum wants a 40% increase in the Florida corporate income tax. He says he wants to use it to raise $1 billion more for education.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
More as we continue to move along. President Trump this past Monday ordered, and this has been talked about for several months, but ordered the declassification of several key documents related to the FBI investigation of Trump-Russia collusion actions during the 2016 presidential election. The dossier, all of that, including 21 pages of an application for a renewed surveillance warrant against former campaign aide Carter Page. There's a little bit or a lot of whipped cream on this cake. Oh, yes, text messages from about Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Jim Comey, and the list goes on and on and on and on.
President Trump declassifying key FISA documents related to the Russia investigation. The president also authorizing the release of text messages from James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and Bruce Orr.
Oh, what is going to be in these documents? That was asked by FBN, Fox Business News' Lou Dobbs. He gives his take of what we just might see.
First of all, of a lot that we have had at least an indication of, and that is rancid corruption throughout the upper reaches of the FBI. I think this is a terrific day for America. I think it is a very bad day for James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Strzok and others, including perhaps Bruce Orr. The thing I hope that we see will be what actually took place and how much of a relationship there was established by these 20 pages from the Carter Page FISA court application, is showing exactly what came from the famous fraudulent Trump dossier.
He was on with Tucker Carlson from Tucker Carlson Tonight. Carlson asked a very interesting question. He says, we know that all this happened under former President Barack Obama. He spied. There was the Russia dossier. He goes, and why is the media not glowing about this? I mean, Reporters in Transparency, why are they not glee? Why don't they ask President Obama about this when he gives a speech?
But they are. So what about Obama? I mean, what we know is that the Obama administration spied on a rival presidential campaign. We're about to find out on what pretext they did. Mm-hmm. You don't hear Obama asked about this in his many paid speeches that he is giving. Why?
Right. The reason is that the press has an alignment. They've taken some sort of a fealty oath that requires them to keep their mouths shut and pretend still that he is some sort of historic president who basically accomplished nothing in 8 years. They have to preserve that fiction.
Okay, so there's something interesting about that. I know that we talk about this. Sometimes people are like, okay, we hear from a lot of callers. Mm-hmm. This story gets overbloated. I think this is a fascinating story of what we may or may not learn. Can I just, I understand that all these guys, 5, 6, a dozen, or whatever, or the hundreds to what, maybe thousands that work for the FBI. Mm-hmm. Do these guys have that much power to derail and they could cause an investigation and embarrass President Trump? I think yes. Was this nothing more than Peter Strzok just trying to embellish how manly he is, the Lisa Page? Could these people have really derailed? I mean, I know that he was part of an investigation. The FBI is very powerful. I wonder what we're going to learn, if anything, from the text messages.
I don't know for sure what we're going to see in them, but obviously I believe if Trump's going to release them, it's going to be probably in favor of Trump. And as far as the question that the panelists asked...
Wait, it's going to be in favor of President Trump? I mean, what does he know? I mean, if he's going to sit back and go, well, that doesn't look favorable to me, so maybe I won't release those?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Really?
Yeah. Why would he release it otherwise?
Then why would the media be all against it then? With the transparency. Well, if they want everything open, I don't care if it embarrasses the president. Put it out there.
Well, the media is probably going to in the tank for the left anyway, so they don't want anything that Trump wants. I think they're probably assuming that it's not going to be in the favor of the left.
Yeah, but the media is all over the map. Molly Hemingway from The Federalist says that when you got reporters that are nervous about getting more transparency information, legally and not from suspiciously selective leaking out there, regarding Russia collusion, remember, it was the media that gave favors of baseball, football tickets to the FBI for leaks out there.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't want that information out there.
That's possibly true. Maybe they're implicated in this as well, in addition to any of the bad actors in the FBI or maybe even foreign governments.
The Wall Street Journal says that the tight job market out there today, some would say it's a problem. Well, yes and no. But guess what that means for you, for several of you that should be looking for part-time jobs to take care of debt, but you want to have a better Christmas out there? The Wall Street Journal reports that even for seasonal workers look out. There's a lot that's going to be offered and be thrown your way. In fact, let me read to you a little bit right here. FedEx is gearing up for a record holiday season. JCPenney. Oh, Roger. Who wants to go work for JCPenney? Some would say, well, get a load of this. Seasonal hiring that started in June as an incentive. If you want to get hired, they'll even add 1 week paid off per year if you want to come work for them part-time.
Wow.
The company's going to hire a national hiring day on October the 16th. Target announced plans to hire 120,000 seasonal workers. That's 20% from last year. For those that will be hired after this week, starting salary at $12 an hour, and they want to raise the minimum hourly wage up to 2020 to $15 an hour. They also want to offer holiday pay for those on Thanksgiving and Christmas. By the way, you do know in the old days, and somewhat today, that's not time and a half. That's double time and a half.
It's amazing at how the difference 2 years makes, because two years ago, we were thinking that the regular brick-and-mortar stores were gone forever. Everybody would be shopping online, but that's not the case.
That's right. UPS expects to hire about 100,000 seasonal employees. According to a press release from the company, 35% of the hirees will be called to stay with the company permanently. I'm going to tell you this right now. I have friends who drive for UPS.
Mm-hmm.
No college degree. And by the way, they're a union. But anyway, these guys make over $70,000 a year.
Yeah.
For a driver.
Yeah. I've got a friend who just retired from UPS as a driver for a year. He's living in a house that's worth $500,000.
The holiday season, which is 2 months away, retail job openings outpace hiring out there. And in fact, remember what CNBC just reported to what you said. According to their latest reports, the malls have the busiest season, brick and mortar, than they've seen in 25 years.
He or she has been in the last 25 years and has shown up in numbers, even at brick and mortar, because the transition to online has not changed. It is still happening, but they're learning to play the game online.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been in a number of malls in the last couple of months in different parts of the country. I've been surprised how busy they've been.
How busy they have been. FedEx CFO Bob Henning says we expect another record season.
Sounds like you are gearing up for another record holiday season. Is he right? Is that what's going on?
That's exactly what's going on. We're looking forward to another record peak season. And, of course, this year there are four Mondays between Thanksgiving and Christmas, so we expect to be extremely busy right up to Christmas Eve.
And you want to know something, the tight job market, a lot of it has to do with the tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
This allows, based on free market economics, the supply and demand, folks, it's not rocket science. That way, if there are less people trying to apply for the job because nobody wants it, guess what companies have to do to attract people? Either they incentivize a little bit or they pay more money per hour. And when you've got UPS talking about bringing 35% of those people back.
Right.
Wow.
And not just attract people, but retain people as well.
Exactly. But not everybody sees all of this as, some would say, blue skies ahead and it's looking a lot like Christmas. No, David Asman from Fox Business News, where the New York Times recently came out with an editorial that says, when you look at the Trump economic numbers, nobody really cares.
Give it to the New York Times to find a cloud with all this silver lining stuff going on. They come out and knock the unemployment figures and the jobs numbers by saying Americans want to believe jobs are the solution to poverty. They're not. So according to the New York Times, these jobs numbers don't really mean anything to the average American.
But here's something. If the job numbers under President Obama, his last year, 2016, 1.6%, but the economy roars up based on optimism at an all-time high under President Trump, that's not because of Trump, that's because of President Obama. I am all open for this forum and this debate from the left.
And only after Inauguration Day.
Yeah, after Inauguration Day. You know, it's kind of like, remember when Reagan got inaugurated back in 1981?
Right.
Bam, the Iranian hostages were all let loose.
Exactly.
Somehow they cut a deal. Again, the question is, are people seeing it now? Because all this extra benefits, if they get hired before the election, okay, hypothetically, you think that would bode well for the Republicans. And many of them don't see really an increase in their paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it may or may not bode well for the Republicans midterm.
Well, there's already the optimism. And, of course, when these companies announce this is what they're going to do, that's all before the election.
Andrew Gillum says that he does not see more of a free market, but the government needs to get involved for more education money and to get you out of poverty. And he's going to do it by raising taxes. Oh, yeah. Doesn't matter. No exemptions. He's going to raise the corporate income tax And wait till you hear what he thinks he can do with the money. We'll continue to cover this more as we continue to move along. 222-TALK, 904-222-8255, Talk Radio, WBOB.
There are currently no accidents on any of the highways in the area, but 95 South on the off-ramp to I-10, it's closed because of a construction project.
Are your energy bills increasing? Do some of the rooms in your home seem too warm or too cold? Does your house seem to be humid? These are just three of the questions that help our customers decide if they should repair or replace their air conditioning system. Just log on to SnyderAC.com and take a short quiz. As Jacksonville's leading residential air conditioning company, Snyder wants to help you make the right decision. Repair or replace? It's a question that Snyderman receives every day. Many times your existing air conditioning can run more efficiently with proper maintenance. Then there are times when it becomes more cost-effective by upgrading to a brand new energy-efficient air conditioning system. So take the quiz by going on SnyderAC.com and answer the five simple questions. Repair or replace? The answer is yours to make. With the temperatures rising, you'll want to make sure that your air conditioning system is working properly. That's SnyderAC.com. Call Snyderman today at 641-0600. License number CAC 1813307.
Partly cloudy today, a 1 in 5 chance of rain, a high of 94 this evening. Lots of rain expected with thunderstorms. 76 the low right now, 77 at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Roger, a lot of emails we receive from a lot of you. And we try to get back to your emails every day. We always enjoy reading them. Ed@wbob.com. Ed, are you guys going to have some forums put up by some of the elections? We've sent out everything. In fact, we were blue in the face to even a lot of Republicans and the Democrats. Some of the Democrats wanted to come on like the day of the election, which really didn't do anything because they were scared to come on before, because fearful that somebody might do a hit job from something they might have said over the weekend. So they thought they played safe. I'm like, well, that's a disservice to the audience, not to me. But Roger, even among some of the Republican candidates and Democrats, we have sent everything out. We want to hold some forums, but some people have been a little bit leery. I mean, not because of us, but they might say something that might be taken out of context. Oh, boo, flippity, who, all right? So a lot of people are asking, are we setting up some forums? There are some that we may partner up with, okay, with some groups, and we'll let you know about that. Coming up next, Andrew Gillum, the most progressive candidate in this gubernatorial race, is not shy about it. I give him credit about it. He's not hiding away. He says he has a plan to boosting teachers' pay and classroom education by $1 billion. And the question is, are we anytime going to be looking at an income tax? The teachers' associations have advocated, but he says we can raise the corporate income tax, which in many cases is an unglorified income tax here in Florida. We'll address this coming up next on Talk Radio WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Are you hiring?
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Senate Judiciary Committee is scheduling what is sure to be a dramatic public hearing Monday into sexual misconduct allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. The Justice Department says it's working with the Director of National Intelligence to comply with President Trump's order declassifying a trove of documents in the Russia investigation. Wilmington, North Carolina has been cut off from the rest of the state by floodwaters. Hurricane Florence now blamed for at least 32 deaths in South and North Carolina and Virginia. China's government promising countermeasures in response to President Trump's tariff hike on Chinese imports due to take effect next week. Stock futures higher this morning on Wall Street. Dow futures up 41 points. NASDAQ futures better by 19. And S&P futures 5 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
We currently see no accidents on 95, 295, 10, or Butler Boulevard. However, 95 South on the I-10 off-ramp, it's closed there because of a construction project. Partly cloudy today with a high of 94 degrees. This evening, there's a 60% chance of scattered thunderstorms. Overnight, the low this evening, 76. Right now, it's 77 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The date is set to hear Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's accuser in front of a U.S. Senate committee. Florida candidate for governor Andrew Gillum wants a 40% increase in the Florida corporate income tax. He says he wants to use it to raise $1 billion more for education. And the Wall Street Journal reports that the tight job market for this year's upcoming holiday season could mean better pay and benefits, even for seasonal workers.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Facebook.com/WBOB. Don't forget the website. Not only can you read bios and news things, items we have up there throughout the day, but then again, you can also download the app, listen to us on your smartphone, your Android phone. It is free, by the way. Just go to WBOB.com. WBOB.com. More as we continue to move along, the hottest name outside of maybe President Trump is Florida Democratic gubernatorial candidate Andrew Gillum. He kind of gets me excited in a weird way, Roger. He gives me a tingling up my leg, you know, because when you think about it, and I want to get to the stuff that he's talking about. This is big news, is that if he gets elected, and maybe tell you something, I was having dinner. I was in Tallahassee over the weekend and meet with some Democrats, business Democrats. I was at a dinner and they're like, we're not even fans of business guys of Andrew Gillum. And he says, and there are a lot of people that think because he has an economic plan, not saying you have to agree with it, but there's even being criticism, which we'll talk about in a moment, by those on the business community that think DeSantis has said little about his economic plans.
Right.
Things may change during debate. Who knows? We've seen that happen. But then again, what is Gillum asking? He scares people, Roger, that he could become governor. But having said that, he has to pass his items with a Republican House and a Republican Senate, which most likely may not happen.
Gillum has this ability to appeal to people, inspire them with things having nothing to do with the proposals that he's putting forth. Things like inspirational, the example to the kids, and you know the great story of the young guy from Miami who went on to do great things and is still doing great things in his 30s. However, look at his policies, and it may not be the best thing for Florida's economy.
Just to graduate from college. I am on this stage as the most progressive candidate running for governor, as the only non-millionaire, non-billionaire.
He's a non-millionaire, non-billionaire, but Gillum says that he wants a 40% increase in Florida's corporate income tax. Folks, if you own an individual company, maybe hire a couple employees, guess what? You're getting whacked too. He says he wants to raise $1 billion. Now, this sounds good. It sounds sexy.
Mm-hmm.
50,000 minimal starting salaries for teacher. Now, I got news for you. That sounds good. I'm going to be the first one to admit, as a former education reporter. That sounds good. The question is, what does that do to the salaries of teachers that already, and you have some teachers that are already at 50,000. Do they get an increase? Some teachers may sit back and say, I've been working for 25, 30 years. I'm making 50. Why should the individual coming in with only 3 to 4 years automatically make 50?
Yeah.
Just an interesting debate.
Very interesting. But it will attract new teachers if that actually goes through. You can guarantee that. And it's a good job considering the 3-month annual vacation.
But even some have said that Gillum's proposal has spawned terror in the boardrooms and is feeling that business support for Republican gubernatorial candidate Ron DeSantis, quote, who has said little about his economic plans other than he plans to embrace the tax and regulation cutting policies by that of Governor Rick Scott. Gillum defends the tax. In a debate last month, he said that Florida's 5.5% tax on corporate income is less than neighboring states like Georgia and Alabama. Well, let me ask a question. Do you want the economy of Georgia and Alabama? I don't think so. I was in Georgia over the weekend. Great place. I don't want to live in Georgia. And by the way, we have a big audience in Georgia. I love to go bass fishing in Georgia, but I love my home state of Florida. But is it right to compare to other states out there? Gillum's corporate plan also defies 2 decades of Republican rule. He wants to expand Medicaid, boost the minimum wage, and legalize marijuana out there. So it's going to be quite interesting to see where all of this goes. But even if this happens, even black conservative from unhyphenated America, Christopher Harris, says that if you wanted to go down this road, for those that support Gillum in the black community, he says, even with those of black-owned businesses and the thousands that have here in the state of Florida, guess what? Those in the black community will be whacked as well.
The economy's doing well. I mean, Florida has the second highest number of black-owned businesses. And there's about 251,000 black-owned businesses. And what happens is if you allow people like Mr. Gillum to get in office, here's what he wants to do. He wants to increase the corporate taxes on those black-owned businesses in general also. by over by close to 50%. So when people like Mr. Gillum says, oh, we need to have health care for all, and going back to the tax issue, one of the things he talked about in his campaign was saying, hey, you know what, our taxes will only be 1% lower than California. Well, California is a steaming pile of mess right now. I mean, it's falling apart. Well, basically, allowing someone like Mr. Gillum to be in charge of the entire state, the third largest state in the country with the fourth largest economy, a $967 billion economy, and they want to let someone like that run the state, it's going to hurt everybody.
Now, it's practically a trillion. The Gillum crowd has said, quote, nearly half of our working families say that they cannot make ends meet at the end of the month, yet our corporations here in the state of Florida pay very little in corporate income tax. Florida Republicans have had the wrong priority for years in Tallahassee. Okay, I've reached out to the Gillum campaign. I will give you all, for all of those of you that are listening, whether it's the Lisa Kings of the Democrats or the other DNC chairs here locally, or throughout the state. I don't care what county you're in, what city. The Florida Democratic Party. We'll give you the free publicity to come on this radio show. Please, we can talk education. We can talk $15 an hour minimum wage. And Roger will tell you. He's a big leftist. He'll tell you. I kid. Democrats are called up on this radio show. I know some of the Republican listeners don't like this. We are very fair to both sides. Especially
absolutely.
The Dems. We want you to come on this radio show. Instead of sniping from way out there, right. But Roger, I want the Gillum campaign to tell me we're Rick Scott's economic. We can talk about education. Mm-hmm. We can talk about the environment. We'll have all of that. And we'll break it down. Tell me where his economic policies have driven the state into a plunger out there. We don't see it.
Yeah. No,
we don't see it.
No ambush journalism here. And it's just fair. And you can even have your people call in, too.
Yeah. And by the way, if corporations are paying less, according to the left, why is there more income coming into the corporate to the income estate tax coffers out there? You can't blame it. You can't say it's all based on tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if you pass corporations of hotelers and you increase their taxes, Roger, guess who they're going to pass that on? If you don't think Disney slows down a little bit, I mean, they always get their money.
Yeah.
If you don't think every time Disney raises their prices, they slow down a couple weeks sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they do.
In fact, and it even goes further. The Florida Education Association president, Joanne McCall, says that the $1 billion proposal is awesome. Quote, for too long, Republicans have chronically underfunded our public schools and criminally have unpaid our teachers. By the way, the chamber points out, Florida Chamber, if Gillum's proposal takes effect, Florida will not only have the highest corporate income tax rate in the Southeast, it would also top New York. So just tell me, I mean, is this the wealth redistribution out there? I mean, are we going to pay for the minimum wage by redistribution of corporate income taxes? Here's a question I like to ask Roger. Mm-hmm. If we're going to force businesses or promote even small businesses, because as you know, there's no exemption, small business, big business,
mm-hmm.
Gillum and the rest of the gang wants them to pay $15 an hour minimum wage.
Right.
Okay, well, how do you plan? Are you going to give business tax cuts to businesses out there? Or are you going to give them money in order for them to pay for that? I mean, no one's telling me how they plan to pay for this, or automatically are small businesses going to pay for it and then charge the consumers more money.
Exactly. And Donald Trump's tax cuts have shown that the private sector will give people better paying jobs, $15 an hour, if you simply create the environment where they can have a robust business.
So here's a question I'd like to ask you listening. How do you pay for the $15 an hour minimum wage?
Mm-hmm.
Left or right, I just want to hear. How do you pay for this? Number two, do you believe Governor Rick Scott's economic policies? I know he's not the most enthusiastic guy out there. I understand that. But it's Bill Nelson, so maybe he's a little bit enthusiastic compared to Bill Nelson. Have his policies, where have they failed? I'll even go a little bit further. Where have they failed the environment? Where have they failed education? Where have they failed the economy? I'll give you a trifecta, Roger. They can pick one of those three. Where does that fail? Number two, or number three, if you raise the corporate income tax here in Florida, how will this make better? According to the Florida Democrats, quote, half of the working families cannot make ends meet at the end of the month. How will the wealth redistribution, whether you're from the left or from the right, if you support the tax increases, how will the wealth redistribution offset families not making ends meet? And by the way, we have thrown millions upon millions upon millions in the education system. Why is $1 billion to fund education and teachers? Why not $2 billion? Why not $1.5 billion? Why does it have to be set at $1 billion? What is the number that would ensure that kids are properly being educated? What is the number, Roger? Do we know?
It's difficult to say. I think the billion is just a round number, and maybe they've done the math and decided this is what it takes to pay teachers what we want to pay them.
Can I ask another question? He wants to legalize marijuana. Would you not, and I do not support it, but having said that, mm-hmm. let's say that the state has said that they want to deal with medical marijuana mm-hmm. and they want to go further. If they could legalize marijuana and just open it up, wouldn't that pay for everything without taxing people?
Not necessarily, because the courts have already ruled that you don't have to buy it from a dispensary once it's legal. You can just grow it in your backyard.
But the left tells me we can raise a boatload of revenue by regulating and taxing it.
Mm.
Well, if that's the case, then why you need to raise my taxes then?
Yeah.
You know, make it a sin tax. Not advocating it. I'm just saying, why don't they go down that road? More as we continue to move along. All right, I want to hear a lot of people have been weighing in on the emails this morning, ed@wbob.com. I love to hear from you. Always enjoy hearing from you. Andrew Gillum, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Jim, thanks for waiting. Good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, Ed. How you doing?
Hey, what do you think about this Gillum education taxes? It does sound sexy, does it not?
Well, I'm a teacher, and you hit a couple good points there. You know, if you've been teaching for a while, do you want to make the same amount of money as someone who's just coming into the profession? But if you look at the number of teachers in the state of Florida, about 177,000, that $1 billion would throw in an extra $5,600 in someone's pay a year. That's not a small number. That's very beneficial to a lot of families. After tax, you're at $3,600. Still a good amount of money.
All right.
But the question is, how much of that money is actually going to go to salary? How much of it is going to go to administrators, the bureaucrats, hiring new jobs, different training? So how much of that are the teachers actually going to get? That $1 billion only puts $3,600 in teachers' pockets if it's all going to teacher salary, which it won't go to. So that's a problem.
Jim,
and then on top of it, to raise corporate tax 40%,
right,
that's in violation of the Laffer curve. He's not going to make the money he thinks because the income will dry up.
Well, here's a question. Jim, I want to ask you a question, but here's a rhetorical question. If you want to raise all this revenue, it sounds like a trifecta: raise the minimum wage and legalize marijuana, raise taxes. Having said that, that's an interesting debate right there. But Jim, as a teacher, one of the things that I have teachers email me, as a former education reporter, there's always a complaint, even among whatever, if you wanted to make this partisan, even among Democrat teachers, I would always come off the record. They weren't very happy being part of the union because, to your point, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but to what you just said, teachers have told me that really the people that need to be paid are people like you, Jim. They say that the administrations are fat and heavy, and that's where there's a big union discrepancy, where, again, you've got the school board, not the school board itself, but you have administrators' unions that are getting more money than the teachers' unions, those of teachers getting paid. Do you see that as well?
Well, what happens is every time there's more money, they say, well, let's create this job and let's create that job, and that's where money goes. It doesn't really go to the teachers.
Okay.
So they're spot on with that. And then, the great thing about Florida is you're not forced into a union. I'm from Pennsylvania. You are forced into a union. You're losing, depending on the state you live in, anywhere from $600 to $1,000 a year just for mandatory dues. Luckily, in Florida, you don't have that.
Right.
So, really what the pay increase, I think, is going to be a kickback to the NEA to the Florida Education Association, increase their dues, and then those dues are going to get kicked right back.
Now, Jim, real quick, a minimum wage increase would employ, for example, unions for their pay to go up, correct, Roger? If they raise the minimum wage.
Many unions, their contracts.
Yes.
Many unions stipulate in their contracts that if the minimum wage goes up, they're indexed to, say, $2.50 more than the minimum.
Now, this is where I'm going with my question. Jim, there are teachers in Duval County and others that make $50,000, and they should, because they've been in the system for that long, for crying out loud. They should make at least that much, and that's not a lot these days. Having said that, if the teachers automatically get a $50,000 pay increase, to some of the teachers that are making $50,000, does that bump up their pay, Jim, or do we not know that?
I don't know. I'd have to look more into the proposal. I have a feeling that it's just empty promises.
All right. Well, Jim, I appreciate letting me ask you and pick your brain this morning. I appreciate it.
Hey, have a great one, Ed.
You too, man. I always like having, I mean, we have a lot of teachers that listen to the show, and I always kind of like asking. I'm not trying to put you, I am trying to put you on the spot.
We talk about education a lot. It's always good to hear the teacher perspective.
46 minutes after the hour, talk radio WBOB.
I-95 South on the ramp to I-10. The off-ramp's closed because of construction. 10 East at Cassett. Traffic's building, and 295 South after St. Augustine Road. We see traffic building there as well.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. If you're interested in buying a fine quality diamond, but might start with a smaller diamond and then over time grow that to a larger size diamond, at Underwoods we have a way to do that, and we've been doing it for more than 50 years. We call it Grow a Diamond, and here's how it works. When a customer buys an Underwood engagement ring, solitaire diamond pendant, or a pair of ear studs, we guarantee they get the price they paid for it on the purchase of any bigger diamond. Now, a lot of stores would say, big deal, we do that too, but here's the Underwood difference. We guarantee you get what you paid when you trade in your Underwood diamond, even if you're only trading up by $1. It's not that you have to trade up 2 for 1 like most jewelers ask. We've done this with thousands of customers through the years, so if you're interested in growing a diamond, come by and see us at Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops at Ponte Vedra.
Good news. You are not stuck with your health care plan. Really, you have a choice, and it's a great one. It's called MediShare, and if you've heard about it and wondered what exactly it is, it's a way that people share their health care bills. And these are people who have a common faith, who want to be part of something beautiful that not only meets their health care needs, but the needs of others too. And it's people who love to save money. Big time. MediShare members typically save $500 a month per family on their healthcare costs. That is a life changer for people. So this could be for you. Maybe it's what you've been looking for, a way to pay healthcare bills that's not only very smart financially, but it's even profound. MediShare is a nonprofit with 400,000 members nationwide who pray for and share with each other. So yes, you're not stuck. There's another way, and it could save you a lot. Hit **228 to find out how much you can save on your health care. Message and data rates may apply. That's **228.
Partly cloudy today. We're expecting around a 1 in 5 chance of thunderstorms. Our high at 94. This evening, lots of rain with thunderstorms expected. 76 the low. Right now it is 78 here at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon. On Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida candidate for governor Andrew Gillum wants a 40% increase in Florida's corporate income tax. He says he wants to use it to raise $1 billion more for education. The Wall Street Journal reports the tight job market for this year's upcoming holiday season could mean better pay and benefits even for seasonal workers. And the date is set to hear Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's accuser in front of a U.S. Senate committee.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
More as we continue to move along. I'm Ed Dean here, hanging out with our good friend Roger Henderson. Let's get to it. President Trump this past week, I mean, he's been asked about this, Roger, for months by Devin Nunes, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, about declassifying material having and being related to the FBI investigation of Russia. Where is all of this going? Well, according to some reports, as the president has ordered the declassification of several key documents, I think there's like 21 pages that have to deal with how the FISA court got a surveillance warrant against former campaign aide Carter Page, also text messages from Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Jim Comey, and who else?
President Trump declassifying key FISA documents related to the Russia investigation. The president also authorizing the release of text messages from James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and Bruce Orr.
Oh, and it just keeps going and going. Lou Dobbs from the Fox Business News kind of broke it down of no idea when it's going to be released, but what the details of the declassification may cover.
First of all, of a lot that we have had at least an indication of, and that is rancid corruption throughout the upper reaches of the FBI. I think this is a terrific day for America. I think it is a very bad day for James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Strzok, and others, including perhaps Bruce Orr. The thing I hope that we see
will be what actually took place and how much of a relationship there was established by these 20 pages from the Carter Page FISA court application, showing exactly what came from the famous fraudulent Trump dossier.
Let me ask this. Is when Lou Dobbs, who I'm a fan of, makes claims, and a lot of people and the Republicans have made this as well, rampant corruption. You heard the clip, throughout the FBI. Is there rampant corruption throughout the FBI or just the 5-6 key actors that we all know that it's, everything's been derived around about the fake dossier with Christopher Steele?
I'm hoping that it's not rampant throughout the entire FBI. This country's in trouble if there is, but I wonder whether or not there could be an argument, Ed, whether or not when they were spying on the Trump campaign, technically they were seeing what the Russians were up to in trying to infiltrate the campaign's servers, etc. Do you think there's an argument there or no?
Let me see. Russia, the question is what did they have based on? Actually, no. They said that they did it based on Carter Page, who was already been on the radar for the last 4 to 5 years.
Okay. Because I remember even back in 2008, there was an FBI warning to the campaign saying Russia's trying to
back
hack
then,
your
servers.
Back
then, yeah, totally agree with you. But here's this is what I find fascinating about all this, was that a lot of this broke, not so much during the campaign. We found a little bit October, November, and of course it broke after Trump came out, and I remember I was right. I was going through January 2017. Hey, I just found out that the Obama administration spied on Trump Towers. And I was like, oh, my word. And then guess what? We found out about it.
Exactly. I didn't believe it.
I'm with you, Roger.
I thought Trump was like, oh, come on,
here we go
President.
Again. But this is what I find interesting with the media is that they never – so Trump says we find out that they did, and it's proven they did. They had a spy or a mole, whatever, in the Trump campaign. Then the media said it never happened, but instead of going from A, B to C, they went from A, skip, B, to C. Then they didn't, instead of admitting that it happened, it was like, well, Trump and Russia, and it needed to happen. Well, then all I'm asking the media, you guys denied it ever happened. Was Trump right?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Was he technically correct?
Yes. And another thing, you know, for benefit of being for being objective, were they really looking to see if the Russians were up to something in the Trump Towers and not necessarily spying directly on Trump?
Or it might have been to embarrass them. Who knows? Yeah. So Tucker Carlson from Tucker Carlson Tonight had Lou Dobbs on, was asking the question, you know, the media is all up in arms. The reporters at the New York Times are nervous about getting more transparency. They're saying that this Russia collusion theory that they've been pushing for years, what may come out in the reports? But he also asked a question. When this all happened under President Obama, now he's on a speaking tour, taking credit for the economy. He's coming back out of retirement. How come there isn't one reporter asking him this question?
But they are. So what about Obama? I mean, what we know is that the Obama administration spied on a rival presidential campaign. We're about to find out on what pretext they did. You don't hear Obama asked about this in his many paid speeches that he is giving. Why?
Right. The reason is that the press has an alignment. They've taken some sort of fealty oath that requires them to keep their mouths shut and pretend still that he is some sort of historic president who basically accomplished nothing in 8 years. They have to preserve that fiction.
When it comes to the economic numbers, you know, Roger, we talk about this every day. And here's an interesting story from the Wall Street Journal. It says that the tight job market means better pay, seasonal pay, much higher than the normal average, even for part-time workers. FedEx is gearing up for a record holiday season. JCPenney, again, JCPenney of all places, brick and mortar?
Yeah.
Really? Guess what? They started hiring season back in June, and as an incentive for part-timers, they're out for maybe like a 1 week off of pay time per year. Also, Target has announced, remember the CEO of Target said this is the best economy they've ever seen. They've announced plans to hire 120,000 seasonal workers, up 20% more than last year. For those who are hired, this minimum wage will start at $12 an hour, not 10.
Yeah.
$12 an hour, and an increase even for part-timers. Could be raised by $15 an hour by 2020. UPS is going to hire extra 100,000 seasonal employees. The company says about 35% of seasonal hires will be called back to work for the company permanently. You and I talked about this. We'll talk about it again. I know friends of mine that are truck drivers for UPS make $70,000 a year, and by the way, they're a union.
Yeah, and they get a lot of time off as well, and great benefits. all from the private sector, and things are doing really, really robust. How can the left argue that that's not a good thing for America?
Even CNBC says, even in the malls, the activity is up more than they've seen in 25 years.
He or she has been in the last 25 years and is showing up in numbers, even at brick and mortar. Because the transition to online has not changed. It is still happening. But they're learning to play the game online.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been in a number of malls in the last couple of months in different parts of the country. I've been surprised how busy they've been.
FedEx CFO Bob Henning says, guess what? We're hiring big time right now because we see a record season during the holiday months.
Sounds like you are gearing up for another record holiday season. Is you right? Is that what's going on?
That's exactly what's going on. We're looking forward to another record peak season. And, of course, this year there are four Mondays between Thanksgiving and Christmas, so we expect to be extremely busy right up to Christmas Eve.
I like to ask the Andrew Gillum supporters, you guys are claiming that the corporate profits don't trickle down. The minimum wage in Florida is like, what, $8.40 an hour? Companies, not 10, not 11, but 12 bucks an hour. Mm-hmm. Here in the state of Florida, locally, will be hiring retailers, which will force other retailers, based on their free market, based on their Trump tax cuts out there. But not everybody sees everything as pie in the sky and blue. David Asman from the Fox Business News says that the New York Times latest article says nobody really cares or buys into these economic numbers.
It to the New York Times to find a cloud with all this silver lining stuff going on. They come out and knock the unemployment figures and the jobs numbers by saying Americans want to believe jobs are the solution to poverty. They're not. So according to the New York Times, these jobs numbers don't really mean anything to the average American.
Yeah, the New York Times, the job numbers don't mean anything. But Roger, real quick, before we go to break, an interesting key point, if you bring in the politics, and several of you are doing it today by emailing me, the politics is, will this trickle down to help out Republicans in some of these swing states? If you're getting hired and you start working, and I think a lot of people will be hiring before the November election, a lot of people will see it in effect after the November election. Is it too late for some of those Republicans out there?
Yeah, will people make the connection that it's because of the economic policies of those elected on the right?
More as we continue to move along. Talk Radio WBOB.
And if you're on I-295 going south into the Buckman Bridge, we'll see backup 295 north of the Bay Meadows Road. There's backup there as well.
Gentlemen, if you believe your divorce case deserves a reasonable investment.
Partly cloudy today with a chance of rain. We'll have a high of 94, 60% chance of rain this evening. 76 the low right now with 77 at WBOB.
All right, 59 minutes after the top of the hour, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson taking your calls at 222-TALK, 222-8255. The liberal left here in Florida with Andrew Gillum says that we can have a robust economy by raising the corporate income tax, even on small business owners, by 40%, raise the minimum wage to 15, and we're going to legalize marijuana. Well, tax and regulate it? Will that raise enough revenue, all that? We'll talk about that coming up next with your phone calls at 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is Talk Radio WBOB.